get ready, Philly. We're coming your way, and it's going to be pretty soon. Now, you do have time to prepare. It's not until the end of July.
So you got a couple weeks. You got a couple weeks. Yep.
We're going to Philadelphia. Jamie's flying in.
I'm flying.
She's not driving or riding a bike from Nashville.
Not taking the rails. No.
Not riding the rails like some dusty hobo.
Not this time, at least.
No, but we're going to be at Tattooed Mom.
That's right.
It's a bar in Philadelphia.
Such a fun place.
It is a fun place. If you've never been there, go there. Yeah. First of all, go there to see us.
Yeah, we'll be there.
But
so
also
you
just go there.
Yeah, check it out. It's a great venue spot. The restaurant, bar. It's...
We got food.
We got food.
They have food there. And when you go, bring stickers with you to just put on every inch of the wall. Just put it on. It's like every wall is about 5 inches thick of just stickers, I think.
I think so, too.
I don't think they've ever painted the place. Mm-mm, it's mm-mm. Just stickers.
It's got a fun decor. Yeah.
Right. But we will be there on July 27th at 5:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Upstairs.
In the upstairs.
And what are we going to be talking about, Jamie?
Is it a bird? No. Is it a plane?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's that. I think it's Supergirl.
If you thought she was going to say Superman, you're wrong.
No, it's the year of the woman. It's Supergirl. That's right. And Faye Dunaway is like evil in it. Yeah.
I mean, it's Faye Dunaway. You know.
Yeah. She's always.
What else is she going to be?
Yeah. She's always cranky in films, isn't she?
I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying that. But of course she's evil. I don't think she's Supergirl.
No, that would have been an interesting take. No, but that's what we'll be wearing our red capes. I'm going to wear a red cape, maybe. You don't know.
Oh, please wear a red cape.
All right.
Please wear a red cape. Oh, and how much does this cost people? How much does it cost them to get in to watch us?
It's free. That's
right.
That's
free. We're not making a dime.
No, we're just there for entertainment. Like a monkey or a chimpanzee at a circus. We are just there for the entertainment. I'm going to have a cape and a cigar. How do you like that?
Wow. Okay. All right. I mean, I don't think you're allowed to smoke in bars anymore. But you know what? We'll see. We'll see what we can. If you're just chomping away at it and you're not trying to light it like some insane monkey who fills a kitchen with gas for some reason.
No, she filled the kitchen with gas.
I know. Okay. I know. We're getting off topic here.
Okay, sorry.
My plan was to play this before every episode, not just the Link one.
Oh, no, sorry.
But anyway, so we will be there. Mark your calendars. If you are in the city, if you're within driving distance,
come on down.
Come see us. It was a lot of fun last time.
Yeah.
We hung up for, 37 hours afterwards?
Yeah, it was a really fun. And then the whole festival is just a fun festival of podcast mania.
We should mention that it's part of the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not just us showing up with microphones at a bar.
We'll be there with beers talking about Supergirl. So
right, yes.
you
know
come.
What, though? If you own a bar or work at a bar and you're cool with that, let us know. We'll just show up anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere you work. Do you work at Macy's? Is there a corner that's free?
Like a street corner that's free now? Like a hot dog vendor? What do you I like? Mean, or a corner of the Macy's? Is that what you're saying?
I see. Yeah, the corner of the Macy's. I don't know. Is there a kiosk available, I guess? Is there an old abandoned sunglass hut at a mall somewhere that isn't
being used? Space doesn't matter to us. We'll be there. We'll bring laptops. We'll bring mics. Yeah. Actually,
so
they
we'll
give
go
us
in,
mics at the festival.
We'll go anywhere, but we're going to be Tattooed Moms. And that, again, is on July 27th at 5:30.
Wow.
Show up. Go upstairs. You know, I mean, they closed the door behind you, but you can come and go.
The bathroom was in there, I think. So if you've got to use the restroom.
Oh, yeah. If you wander in, like if you're a Tattooed Mom, is it like 6 and you kind of forgot we were there? And if you walk in to use the bathroom and you see us, stick around.
Yeah, listen up. Maybe give a chuckle or two if we say something.
Do they
amusing.
Really have a bathroom there?
I do remember using the bathroom right away after. I'm guessing it couldn't have been.
You're right. Yeah. Nope, they have bathrooms in there. Okay, so don't be afraid. We're on for an hour, so don't be afraid about having to use the bathroom. Like, don't let it's that
easily
deter
accessible.
You.
I might use mm-hmm. the bathroom during the
if
episode.
If you have
you don't
IBS,
know.
Come on, don't
doesn't
worry about
matter.
It.
Yeah,
it's not a big
we
deal.
We welcome it.
It's not a distraction. All right, everybody, we'll see you then, and I assume we'll see everybody then. So come
on, we'll be there.
The end.
All right.
Move over, Red Sonja. We have a new leader in the clubhouse when it comes to worst film we've seen on this podcast. Jamie?
Yep.
Let's go watch... Everybody, welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. We're an 80s movie podcast. Every 2 weeks, we watch a movie from the 80s, and then we talk about that movie. My name's Doug McCambridge. I'm one of the two hosts of this podcast. With me is Jamie Lorello. Just upset. Just as upset as I am.
Yeah.
That this is the episode that we're bringing you.
I think that the only people that have seen this movie... Mm-hmm. Are probably like boys going through puberty in that right. time period in the 80s. Because that's why you wanted to see this. You didn't even want to watch it for the laughs. You didn't watch it because you related to summer camp because of it. Because it really only had... You didn't get enough of what... You watched this because there was a little bit of TNA. And mm-hmm. because it said that you could see some boobs. And you were like, right. all right, I'm on.
Yes. And I'm glad you said... Or I'm glad you didn't say the only people that watched this were the people that made it. Because I don't think they watched it.
No, because no, I don't think... I think even scene-wise, I don't think there was ever a cut. Let's try that again. I think it was just like, okay, that's fine.
Yep.
If that's how you want to deliver that line, that's fine. Yeah.
It's like in Ed Wood when he's like, oh, great, yeah. great, we got it. Well, the tombstones yeah. all fell over. No, it's great. Let's move on. Next yeah. scene. Mm-hmm. I guarantee mm-hmm. you that's what happened in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is baffling. Also, if you have any interest in watching it, it's on YouTube, whatever.
Way too long.
Yeah.
It's,
but I was confused yeah. at times, and I'm assuming you watched the same YouTube clip as I did. Were they editing out curse words? Did you notice that at all? There were times where clearly the actor said fuck, and then in ADR there was other words put in, and that got me to thinking, oh, okay, well maybe this is the TV version put on YouTube, but then there's boobs every half hour, so I don't know. Anytime they weren't showing a character, it was ADR.
Like, I have to tell you, I barely listened to what they said because it was so annoying.
No, it was.
There was not even like, there wasn't even one character in it that you thought, oh, well, I'll hold on to this mm-hmm. guy. There's something there. And the ones that I would have maybe gotten some, they didn't do anything with.
Right.
So not that there was anybody in the movie really.
Yeah.
Because even the bug guy, who that was my favorite scene, and his crazy, there's these two lead adult camp directors. And she's like a crazy...
She's not painted as being crazy at the beginning. I mean, he's wearing a metal helmet and
he's
like
very
a drill
crazy.
Sergeant. And she's just reading off their resumes when she's introducing them. And suddenly we get into this weird sex scene between the two of them. And mm-hmm. from that moment forward, she's a lunatic.
She's a kook. She's a little kooky. P.S. How long does that introduction go? Like, that's how we're introduced to all our characters.
Forever. And it's voiceovers of what they're thinking?
What they're thinking. Oh, yeah. And then who's the guy where that smokes a cigar and is like doing a terrible,
the guy
like,
who thinks he's Hunter S. That? Thompson, but he's doing the worst impression.
Like a Dean Martin impression or something. I don't know. What's he doing?
Every time he's on screen, I was like, is this his vehicle? Like, is this kid
a
young stand up? But you look him up, nothing. Just party nothing. Camp. That's it.
Because after that movie, it was like, go home, like the Tracy Ullman show. Go home.
Here's what I will say. And this is the one thing other than the fly scene, which, of course, we'll talk about it. Here's the one positive I will say is I think that the jock and his
ditzy girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think they know what movie they're in. I'm not sure that anybody else in this understands.
Did you see the face that he makes? He's got the jock guy.
Yeah.
Has several. Does he realize he's not in like any kind of theater? He's being on film because he. First of all, when he does his little intro and he has his inner monologue and he thinks his fly is open and he's got all these faces that he makes because he thinks his fly is open. And then when they're in the pig pen together, when they get locked
in
the
pig pen together. It's like, why is there a fire sprinkler in this pig pen?
Why do
does
they care
a pig
about, yeah.
talk to them at one
point? Yes.
Oh, my God. I hate this movie so much. I thought I hallucinated that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. And it's also choppy. Nothing flows together.
None of the scenes flow together.
No.
He wagers that girl a date to the dance for a basket. He scores that basket. The next time he sees her, he pretends to drown. And I'm like, dude, you already
got
a date.
Didn't you win the date? Yeah, I know.
What are you doing? This movie just seemed to be random scenes stitched together by an 8-year-old at the end who had no idea what the script was or what was going on. There's no plot to this movie.
None.
Nothing happens. It's so terrible.
It's not good.
I have to tell you about this director.
All right. Please do, because maybe that's the shining light.
His name is Gary Graver, and I don't know if you want me to start with the prestige of his career or what his career basically is.
Let's start with the high end.
Okay,
because
the high end is high end.
Oh.
He is a pretty good and pretty well-known cinematographer. And he shot many, many things for Orson Welles.
Oh.
Yes, he shot my recommendation movie, which I won't talk about. But he shot a lot of television stuff for Orson Welles. Helped him out. Orson Welles did not pay him for any of this work. It was like, all right, I'll just do this
pro bono.
Yeah. At one point, I forget what it was that they finished. I looked it up. And as payment for all of the work he did, Orson Welles gave this guy his Academy Award.
What?
Yes. Which then, later in this guy's career, in the late 90s, he had to hawk that.
For a drug habit
just for
like
money.
That.
Like, nobody was paying him anything to do anything. But yeah, then he had to sell that. And then he was sued by Orson Welles' daughter. Like, it was a whole thing.
Yeah, because you took his Academy Award and sold
it. Yeah, like, I forget.
He had some promise.
He had a lot of promise and shot many, many well-regarded films. Let's talk about what he basically is known for, though. And he directs smut, just like total smut. Mm. And here's some of his films, which I just wrote down the titles that I loved so much. Bikini Traffic School.
Oh, my God.
And here's the really good ones, okay? Three Men and a Hooker.
Oh, my gosh.
Driving Miss Daisy Crazy. Cape Rear.
Oh, my gosh.
And my favorite, The Joy Fuck Club.
I like Cape Rear.
Yeah, Cape Rear is it's pretty great. But, yeah, that's basically, if you look through this guy's resume on IMDb, it is hundreds of movies like this. And then every now and then it'll be like a legit film. It's just sprinkled in, and he's the cinematographer.
What do you think that is? Why do you think that happens?
You need the money. You do what you can.
And you like boobs. I guess you like to look at boobies.
Yeah. I do have to say, to this guy's credit, first of all, this movie shot like garbage. When I found out he was a good cinematographer, I'm like, clearly he did not shoot this film,
No.
But the only scene where I went, oh, this actually looks nice, is the one where he has a dream about that girl and she, like, crawls into bed on top of him.
Oh, when it's raining? The storm?
Yeah. And I was like, this doesn't look like anything else in this movie. This looks like a legitimate film for this 2-minute part of this movie. This guy's career is insane. To get Oscar, I almost called him Wilde. To get Orson Welles' Academy Award for the work that you did for him, and then to make Party Camp is a travesty.
It is. It's, well, maybe he's got some pride in him, his work. I don't know.
Listen, he was able to put food on his plate, and perhaps he has a family too. I don't know.
I would hope not, but
I would hope not. Party camp? No family for you. Anyone associated with this movie?
We don't want you to be producing children and offspring.
All sterile.
No.
I don't know. Should we just get into it? Because you're leading us through, so do it.
I'll do it. As soon as this movie opened, listen, I'm going to be so annoyed while we talk.
Me too.
As soon as this movie opened and the dude was in his pool with some giggling girls all around him, I was like, oh, that is what this is going to be. Because they're all giggling and fawning themselves over this guy. And
oh my god, at this point in the movie, I was watching this on my computer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm watching this in my office on the computer, it's very, very loud. And I was like, I have to turn this down because the amount of sexy sex in this movie, I was like, my wife is going to think I'm watching vintage porn downstairs.
Sexy sex and all the
yep. It's awful.
All over the place.
You're right. All over the place. It is every moment of this movie.
The one girl, every time she talks, is... That's all it is, yes. Every time she opens her mouth.
Yeah. And I said she was doing a great job,
and you said she knew what movie she was in.
Which is bananas on my part, because I could not get over that scene when she's feeling herself up in the girls' locker room.
Oh, that was my second favorite scene, So besides the fly scene, which we'll get to, that scene where she's like, oh, I'm so hot. She's so into herself in the girls' camp bathroom.
It's amazing.
And then she's so destroyed because these other girls come in that are topless.
She crumbles to a ball on the floor. She's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I have the best body on this camp. And I was like, it's a camp of 12-year-olds. What are you doing?
Exactly. I'm like, you're one of the camp counselors, aren't you? Because that's what she is.
Yes. And I was confused throughout this movie as to who's a counselor, who's a kid, who's really in charge. Because it seems like Jerry, our protagonist, has a cabin full of campers. Kids,
yep.
Teenagers.
The chipmunks, what are their names? They have a name.
Squirrels? They're chipmunks. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's the whole camp is the chipmunks, but they have a name.
They're the squirrels. You're right. Oh, God. But then the jock guy seems to have a cabin full of 20-somethings?
Yeah, his seemed to be a little older, but maybe it's just because they're cooler.
But they're not counselors.
No, the counselor is the jock guy.
Oh my God,
Jerry guy. Or just two of the counselors, because we met a bunch of other counselors when we had our counselor intro. So when we meet Jerry, first he's in the pool, kind of daydreaming about his fantasy girl, and he opens up this newspaper, and that's why he's decided to go to camp, is because he sees this one girl is in the camp
flyer.
It
is very creepy. Later,
yes,
when he tells that kid, when they're sitting around a keg, because he bought a keg of beer for 14-year-olds.
Yep.
When he tells him that he cut the picture of her out of the brochure and hung it up in his bathroom.
Even the other guy says that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, and he goes, well, you know, romantic creepy. What?
No, there's no such thing. Cool. Creepy, all kinds of creepy.
I believed at the beginning of this that he was a homeless person, too, because he's just...
Oh, yeah, because he's just...
The street.
Yeah, so first he's dreaming and he's in, like, a pool, so you think he's a rich kid. But next thing you know, he's waking up from this pool dream and he's, like, asleep on his backpack, like a hobo waiting for the bus. And then the bus doesn't even look like a real school bus. It looks like a cartoon school bus rolling down the street.
I thought that was interesting because the moment you said not a real school bus, I was like, well, it was yellow. But then you said cartoon school bus and you are right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something
wrong with it. It's not an authentic looking bus. Yeah.
It's driven. This first scene, I am frantically going crazy with my notes. After this scene,
because
I realized I don't need to type anymore. This is all nonsense. I don't care.
It's ridiculous.
Every... at every turn in this first scene, something crazy is happening. Mm-hmm. The guy who picks him up, he's yelling and screaming, says the bus is broken down, but then he eventually drives away. He's falling. The kids have sheets of paper of scores because the bus almost ran him over. It is a
bizarre. The kids are screaming, too. The kids are screaming yes. and laughing on the bus because it seems like they had, like, six or seven, like, main actors and then a bunch of extras that I think were really camp
real
kids.
Campers. They have to be real campers. I can't
And they were just
there.
Like, now you're going to scream. Now you're going to cheer.
Because that's all they do.
No... Yeah.
At the end, when they're in that race that takes 45 minutes,
yeah.
when they pan across the people clapping, they show the same shot of these two girls cheering. And I was like, these were the only two given it that day, and they're getting all the screen time.
Well, there you have it. You got to know when to put out. Or for the never mind.
Okay. No, you can make a joke like that in this movie because it'll be hilarious.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can drug a counselor and have her take off all her clothes. And then in the next scene, almost as though that never happened.
Yeah.
It's never mentioned.
It's like it didn't.
It's mentioned in like over the loudspeakers. Of the
oh,
camp.
Yeah, to watch for to
yeah.
that no alcohol is allowed
yeah,
or something,
the,
right,
the
don't they?
FDA, not the FDA. Who's the drug cops? Who are they?
DEA?
Yeah, D-E-A? Yeah, because they were like, until the DEA comes and inspects these woods, no more camping. And what's this camping? Why is she out with these chipmunks or these squirrels? Why is she leading them on a camping trip? Shouldn't Jerry be doing this?
Yeah, Jerry should be, but where is he? And on their way to the camping trip, they encounter a nudist colony, I guess, right by the camp. That they watch these people naked playing volleyball.
And for a nudist colony, the tan lines were very pronounced on these people.
Very pronounced. Yeah, those men's asses were just bright white. Just
like,
bright white buns.
These guys have been wearing shorts until the moment they set action.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. Oh, it's so ridiculous.
And again, this is one of those movies. Like we said, these things were churned out at this time. This was a movie that I'm sure played on USA Up All Night. I'm sure Gilbert Gottfried, you know, introduced this at some point. It's one of those movies. But this is even worse than those.
Yeah, because I feel like they didn't even try to have a storyline, a plot, a likable character. Nothing.
You're supposed to like Jerry, and he's such a creep.
Jerry's a jerk. You meet Jerry Riviera. He's going to be a new camp counselor. He's only coming to this camp to be whatever. And who even cares?
Just say whatever at the end. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yeah, listen. So there's Jerry, and then he meets his buddy DA on the bus. They make quick friends. There's an awful scene where Jerry puts the beads of – so it's the one – there's really one – I mean, there's lots of girls and tits and stuff in the movie. But there's that
though.
One
That's
main
the other
slutty
thing.
Girl.
There isn't. I mean, if you're watching this movie...
There's too much for me, I'll tell you that.
Well, right. I'm just saying, if you're watching this movie for boobs and for, like, drinking shenanigans, there's not too much of that. Who takes their... Wait. Maybe I did watch an edited version. I don't know. Who takes their top off? The dingbat takes her top off.
The dingbat does, and then there's a bathroom scene where there's other girls that have
oh
their top
my God.
Off, and then
okay.
there's the,
yes, I forgot about
the
that.
Nurse is constantly showing well, cleavage, and then there's yeah. a whole sexy scene with her at the end and the one good.
What they put that kid in for that scene is amazing.
Yeah, I did enjoy seeing what he was wearing, but I was mad that she then was apologizing, like, yeah. Like, I wanted her to keep on with the...
You wanted her to keep beating him?
I wanted her to keep, like, yeah, like, this was supposed to be her character, was that she's this nurse that then is this. But then she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you.
It's a weird turn, because in a strange way, I sort of enjoyed her as the nurse. Like, the fact that she's constantly walking around with just a syringe all the time. Like, when they introduce
her... And
her
bra hanging out the whole time. Just
I believe in every scene, those buttons get progressively removed. Like,
what buttons?
By the end, when she's massaging him for some reason... I was like,
because he won the race.
Yeah. I was like, she doesn't even need to be wearing anything in this scene.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. Well, later she's barely in nothing when she's whipping him. Do you understand what happens? This is no sleepaway camp.
Oh, she
people.
Also.
Let's just be very clear about that.
She also shoves a fire extinguisher up a guy's ass at one point.
Oh, that's right. That was another funny scene when the kid goes to look for the laxative.
Yeah, and he's like catatonic walking back.
Yeah, that was pretty good. She's like, I do have something. And his face, again, his facial expression when she does allegedly cleans him out. With the fire extinguisher.
Right.
Oh, God, okay. This movie. So the theme of their camp, of their camp, did you see that, is where the best is still not good enough?
Nope.
Camp
didn't
Chipmunk.
This is a tough movie to watch. The print I agree. Floating around on YouTube, I had a hard time seeing things sometimes.
I had a hard time watching this.
Pixely, it was very blurry.
That's
stuff
why I thought
happen.
The one guy was Dennis Quaid. I was like, oh, my God. Dennis Quaid's in this movie, and now he's in a weird fly costume. What is happening?
I like to think that that's why you were so upset when you realized it wasn't Dennis Quaid. You were like, well, now this has no diminishing returns, or this has no returns. Diminishing returns. This movie is diminishing returns from the opening credit.
Yeah, let's see. What we did, we talked about the inner monologues when they introduce... I do like when they do so. All the camp counselors get up and introduce themselves. They all have some kind of inner monologue going on in their head. And I did like that the one girl, the dumb girl, you just hear air. You hear like a breeze going. There's no inner monologue. That was kind of funny. Like I was like, oh, look what they're doing with that.
I do like how she's reading their resume and stuff like that.
Yes.
And the older lady, and when the dumb girl is up, she's like, she hasn't had any incurable diseases.
Yeah, she has
no
scrapes or bruises.
No,
yeah.
Oh, let's not laugh at this. Let's not laugh at this movie.
It's killing me.
I wasn't laughing at the time. I
was very upset.
I want to make this very clear. I enjoyed the scene where the man is dressed as a fly and the woman is spanking him with fly swatter. But at no point did I laugh or even smile. I think I just nodded in approval at that scene.
No, like, okay, this one will help me get through. Right. They do show a little bit of their camp life. But again, there's about 7 main actors that we're going to focus on between these 2 rival guy groups. And then there's the ditzy blonde. It is too many. Or the ditzy brunette.
Yes.
But then they do have this little, like a montage, I guess, of the things that happen at camp, like the zip lining.
Right.
And they have putt-putt golf and horseback riding. And there's the rope course that they do. There's an aerobics class that the woman is,
what
like,
is that
teaching
about?
It. She's like, we got it. This was... Again, one of those, oh, I guess this is where this is going. So I think it's the girl that he has a crush on teaches aerobics.
She teaches aerobics,
And she's telling the camp these girls that they're going to do an aerobics class, an hour-long aerobics, that nobody's up for it. And I guess it's an intense hour-long class. Like, people are passing out. Ambulance is coming and taking girls off out of the class. By the end, like, people are just leaving the class. Like, an hour, I guess, is a long time for campers to do aerobics. I don't know.
No, I do kind of like it when there's like paramedics there and someone's on a gurney and they're wheeling them away. Yes. And that was another part of this thing where she's like, get ready for your intense 1-hour aerobics. And these girls are like, what? Aerobics? And I'm like, are you campers? You all look the same age. You all look 23, 24 years old. Who is? You don't see children except in scenes where they're all grouped together cheering.
No, yeah.
The only time you see real kids on this camp.
Mm-hmm. It's just, there's no other time that they're even counseling a different kid. I did fast forward like a couple of moments of the racing because I was like, this is all this is.
Me
this is all
too.
This is.
I fast forwarded
it.
30 seconds at a clip and I'm like, they're still on bikes?
Yeah.
What is going on?
So last night I gave up, like after when they were in the pig pen together and then the water fell on her and now she's in a white shirt in a pig pen. I was like, I can't do any more of this. I have had
that's when
enough.
You stopped it. Okay.
And I was like, okay. And that's when I also discovered they did a close up of that older camper guy and I realized it wasn't Dennis Quaid and I was like, forget it. I'm not having this. So But I had another 20 minutes left. And like, yeah. I said, it pained me that I had to watch. I mean, 20 minutes, that's nothing, right? You could scroll through social media in 20 minutes. But
it's not nothing when it comes to this.
When it comes to this. And then when I watched the last 20 minutes and it was 15 fucking minutes of a race.
Yeah.
I was like, are you serious? This is what I was holding out for. And then a dance at the end with a little credit thing where we meet the couples that we didn't really know in the throughout the movie anyway.
We didn't. These older girls finally fall for these nerds. I'm like, I didn't know who any of you were.
No.
Look over and they're like, who are these guys? Where have they been all summer? Yeah. Like, they're the nerds. Look at them.
Yep.
You just saw them in a race. Mm-hmm. You just saw them earlier that day. And now you're all pairing off?
I know it.
I hate this movie so much.
Oh my God.
Oh, my God. Can we just talk about the Mr. Jacuzzi?
I was going to say, can we talk about their makeshift hot tub? The ones that is like a kid pool, but they put, what did they put in it to make it bubble and go?
It's a hair dryer. I really looked at this. I really expected it. It's a hair dryer with a tube coming out of the nozzle into the water so that I guess the air blows bubbles.
Blows the bubbles in the baby pool.
And they all just sat in this thing in like their jeans and their sweatshirts.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird.
Also, as we said before, this guy wheels in a keg of beer for these kids, like these children. And they are meant to seem younger and played by younger actors. So I was like, this is so wrong. Like, you're not cool, Jerry. You're not cool. This is not cool. How you make friends.
No, but Jerry thinks he is the epitome of cool. He says it all the time.
And then they get electrocuted.
Yeah. Yeah.
The electrocution scene is like a masterclass in low budget, terrible filmmaking, because these kids are pretending to be electrocuted, which means we put mousse in their hair and we turned a fan on them. And then they're just supposed to shake
and make these faces of electrocution.
Faces. Yep. And just like noises like it's awful.
Painful. It's as painful as being electrocuted, probably, as I assume.
I wish that you had written a review of this movie when it came out and that they used that line on the poster. I felt like I was being electrocuted. Raves, Jamie Lorello.
Then comes the lovely scene when the girl is all into herself in the bathroom. Because, okay, of course, they're boys at a camp. They found a way to spy. Okay, so the boys, these group of boys, the squirrels, have found a way because they have, of course, a tech nerd that can sneak and spy on the girl's bathroom. Who's the little kid? Every now and then, they're taking a little kid out of the bathroom. First, they yell at him. He's a little boy. And they yell at him for being in the girl's bathroom. Yep. Then they yell at him in the next scene for being in the boy's bathroom.
And then just randomly yells at him, like, I've never seen anybody do anything that you're doing in there. I'm like, what is happening right now? But that never comes back around.
No.
It happens for the first third of this movie. Yeah. And then it's dropped.
It's a little joke that they just drop, and then they do nothing with it. Oh my gosh.
They filmed the girls in the bathroom, and they're watching it in their little cabin or whatever. And this is the scene where the ditzy girl is feeling herself up and getting all crazy about how great her body is. And like you said, then these other two buxom girls who we never see, I don't know if they're campers or whatever, they walk in naked and then she is devastated.
She crumbles.
Falls to the ground. The guys are loving this. And later on in this movie, they're watching that same thing again.
Yeah, they watch it on repeat.
All fuzzy, and they're like, oh, I guess we watched this tape too much. I'm like, well, this isn't funny now. Now I'm creeped out.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do watch that on repeat, it's not something I need to know.
Right. Yeah, don't make the heroes of your movie these total weirdo pervs.
What about when we're in the girls' camp? So we get – mostly we know it's the boys that we're learning about, right? But we do get into the girls' bunk for a little while, and – they're talking to puppets and have stuffed animals and they're reading Cosmo. And these girls all look like they're not all like 13-year-old kids. These look like more older girls, right? Yeah.
It looked like a sexy pillow fight was going to break out at any moment during this scene.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised it didn't happen in this movie. Right. Their line delivery is just awful. It's like I said, like they just spit their line out and the director was like, yeah, that was fine. They were like, yeah, we don't you're need fine. To. Yeah, you're just, it. Don't worry. It might get cut. We're not sure. So we also get a little heart to heart with D.A. and Jerry when they bond. And Jerry confesses that he wants to be a cruise ship director. And D.A. gets a little sad because he doesn't have a dad.
No, he grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't have the money. These other preppies in this ritzy camp. This looks like a trash camp.
It looks like a horrible camp.
It's
yeah.
awful. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, I think we're supposed to like Jerry. We're supposed to find him hilarious and just be on board for his antics.
I'm not.
And I think we're supposed to find D.A. sympathetic and just hope that everything works out for him. And then the girls are there too. Like, these characters are so poorly defined, except for the ditzy dummies, because it's just like, be a dummy. Like, just be a dummy. And that's easy direction.
I have to tell you, I think cheerleader camp better than this.
Oh, cheerleader camp was destroys this
fun.
Movie.
Yeah, and at least you had all the mascots were fun, and
they were filming naked girls down by the rocks and watching it, and they did a better job.
They just
that was
did.
Even more upsetting because remember they were watching that video of the girl who was murdered.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
They were like, oh yeah, she was so hot. Too bad she's dead.
Wow. So. it's the Falcons. That's the preppy group and the squirrels, right?
Yes, which I did not know they were the Falcons forever until they had that stupid chant. I hate this move. I hate this. I don't even want to talk
about
anything we're going
to
talk about.
Don't get into the chant. Nobody wants you to know about the chant.
Okay. All right, great.
Don't worry. Yeah. I was just going to talk about the things they start doing back and forth to each other.
Yeah, no,
so
go ahead.
They blow the squirrels, I don't know how they do it, but they blow up something in the bunk of the Falcons. There's a major explosion.
Toilet paper sprays everywhere.
Major explosion. Yeah. Toilet paper goes
everywhere.
They're all
covered in toilet paper.
And then to get back at them, that's when the one guy goes to make laxative brownies. He decides that's what he's going to do, is have his girlfriend make laxative brownies. He goes to the nurse to get laxatives. Mildly funny scene where the nurse puts a fire extinguisher up his butt.
I didn't write down a whole lot of what was said here, but when he went to ask for these laxatives, it is pretty funny. First of all, he asks for 40 boxes, which I really enjoyed. And he goes to the nurse and he's like, oh, you know, that the food in the mess hall. Yeah, I'm just really backed up. And she's like, what else is new? I'm like, wait, what? Is this a problem for this guy? He's just always there, backed up, asking the nurse.
He's always having a problem taking the shit at camp. I'm sure it happens a lot, actually, in real camp situations. Because you're nervous about being at camp, so your intestines are a little wound up. You're not used to the camp food, so...
Mm-hmm. Some rapey pervert's always making stuff.
Yeah, so you're feeling uncomfortable.
You know, he's always trapping you in the walk-in. Yeah, no, I understand. He's making so much corn on that stove.
I wish that was the movie we were talking about.
Let's just talk about Sleepaway Camp again and forget this. Oh, my God. Yeah, but she shoves a fire extinguisher up his butt to, I guess, blow
Even
everything
I can't
up.
With this movie. Oh, with this trash. That's what it is. I'm sorry.
But as I think I texted you, this movie is straight trash.
I think
that's what I said. In the meantime, while this fire extinguisher thing is happening, this Jerry guy, our main character, is really into that girl. What is her name?
Heather.
Mm-hmm. He bets her a basketball game. He's playing basketball, and he says, if I can score on you, I get to take you to the dance. Mm-hmm. It's very anticlimactic. Like, he just shoots, scores, the end, done. I was like, wait, it's not
no
who
struggle.
Wins the game. It's not playing to a certain number of points. It's one shot. He wins. He's so excited. End of scene. And that's what every scene is. Every scene in this movie is just a tiny little thing where two characters are interacting for about a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. And then it ends. And it's never brought up again. No. Never discussed. Mm-mm. It's as if this movie were shot, of course, out of order. Mm-hmm.
but between each scene, the characters' memories were wiped as to, like, what happened. And then they just shot a brand new scene from possibly a different movie.
Well, it's camp, so maybe, you know, every day's a new day at camp. I don't know. Okay. I have no excuses the ridiculousness that is. I completely agree with you, though. It's like nothing kind of weaves together. The characters have no, like, motivation that... Except Jerry is into this girl, but even that, it's not like he's trying to just impress her the whole time. Like you said, there's not even really an impressing to happen. He has these crazy erotic dreams of her, because after the basketball game is when he has what you say is like the pretty scene where he's she's come to him in the storm and she's wet and they make out or whatever.
It's a pretty scene, but it's also, like most of this movie, it's written horribly and the dialogue doesn't make any sense and the delivery's awful because his fantasy is that apparently she wants to get out of the rain, she really wants to have sex with him, and he's making up excuses as to why he can't. At one point he's like, oh, I don't, you know, I have to go get my dog neutered tomorrow. I'm like, why is this your fantasy? Like, how is this your dream? This girl is taking her clothes off, clearly wants to have sex with you, and you're being funny and stupid and making up excuses.
Because you're
why
silly,
not?
Jerry. Because you're silly, funny, Jerry.
I hate this. I've already said that at least seven times.
Yeah. For you started it out with, I hate this. Before we even said. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So our squirrel campers are going for a little hike, I guess, and they find this plant that's an aphrodisiac. So they decide to feed this aphrodisiac plant to this one ditzy, slutty, camp counselor girl. And she eats it. And then they – what about – okay, so they go camping. They all go on this hike. And then they see this – they're spying with their binoculars this naked camp next door, this nudist camp.
Yeah.
Then the next thing we know, they're sort of campfire camping and playing strip poker. Because this girl's now high on this plant. Did you see how large the cards were that they were playing with? It's like they're comically playing, huge.
It's like a comedian's deck of cards. I noticed then. I was like, why?
They're like 8
why
by 10.
Why did you just get real cards?
I don't know.
How difficult is that?
I don't know, because it's not like it's a coy move to like cover her breasts because they never show full boobs. No, it's they show full boobs.
I was very confused, too, because I thought, I did not think that this was the ditzy girl for a while,
no.
Because I was like, wait.
Well, because she has that hat on in the beginning.
I was like, I thought if she was going to take her clothes off, she would have done it earlier in this movie. Yeah. I know that's a weird thing to think. But I was like, wow, it's taken this long for this to happen. I thought she was a different character because I also, like I said, I didn't understand why she was taking these weird kids.
I don't know why she was with them.
Is this her thing? Like
she was, like you said, Jerry's in charge of them. Jerry should have been taking them. Maybe they swapped and Jerry was with her ladies, but for some reason, she is with them.
I do like when he refers to his campers as Jerry's kids.
Terrible. Terrible. So she's naked with just underwear on, but when she runs away, she somehow has her shorts back on. And
didn't notice that.
Then there's something lurking in the woods while they're having their camp, and it's a guy in a ski mask.
Is it that guy? Is it that guy who drives the bus and pops
in
every now and then with nonsense?
I think so.
Oh, man, I can't stand
that
character.
Me neither. It's stupid. It's very dumb.
Now, Jamie, we're on to the best scene of this movie.
Oh, this is my favorite scene.
Feel free.
And this, and look, I still, in my notes, I still think this is Randy Quaid, because or Dennis Quaid, because I'm like, Quaid dresses up as a fly for the camp woman.
I like how involved this little playful interaction is that they have. I love the costuming.
Oh,
the mask,
such a deep, really good costume, really great mask. He is buzzing around her apartment. And she is going to catch him. He dances and flings, like, uses his arms like they're wings at times. Like,
yes.
This, again, all the scenes in this movie are too long. And this scene is another one where it's like, why does it keep going on?
Forever. And wasn't there a scene just like this in cheerleader camp when the owner of the camp, the woman, she dressed up like as a cheerleader. Yeah. And the detective or the cop was...
Was one of the mascots?
I feel like there was another scene
kinky,
just like this.
Yeah. So I guess it's the thing. Like, the oldest members of the camp are a little hot and bothered for each other and whatever.
I like the fact that he's dressed as a fly and she's whipping him saying, sting me.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's a fly. It's...
It's not going to sting you. You're like, technically, he's...
And then I push the glasses up on my nose while I'm saying it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but this was... But then, okay, so they have this little romp, these two. And apparently, they recorded it, the squirrels. And then they play it for the whole camp.
Did you also notice that she is wearing, like, the counselor's outfit, but also, like, a red leather bustier on it?
I didn't realize that.
And she's got a can of Raid.
I saw the can of Raid. Yeah, because it's about getting the fly dead. Yeah. I did see that, the stigma. Oh, yeah.
It's great. And then instantly they play this on the PA system the next day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the female counselor does a spit take, which is... Great. Good for her.
Yeah.
You know, you're committing at that point.
Yeah.
I think this is the only scene in the movie that has a build up and a payoff. I mean, honestly, that's it. This is the only scene where we see repercussions of something happening in the next scene. Right? Everything else are just these little happenings and then something different happens.
Well, coming up next is when we have, okay, so there's this rivalry still happening between the squirrels, right? And the nuts, I'll say. No, the squirrels and the falcons. Mm-hmm. And now when we go back to their cabin, their stuff is getting removed or stolen. Like, the hot tub's gone and the computers are broken.
Doesn't matter.
So to retaliate the squirrels after they get all their shit stolen from them, they have this mean trick they're going to play, I guess, on the Falcon Chad. I don't know his name. The leader guy.
His name is Tad, but then people call him Ted sometimes. I don't.
Well, they have a thing that they're going to do. This is when they trap them in the pig pen, right?
Right. Yes.
But so they start with, okay, so this is a strange scene.
This is very strange.
And the girl, this ditzy girl,
yeah,
who earlier was strip pokering. She and he are on this walk, like in the woods somewhere, and he's like, "Do you want to do sprints?
Wind sprints?
Wind
sprints?" She seems to think that means sex.
Yeah, she lays on the ground like they're gonna have sex,
I don't know,
and he literally starts sprinting around her.
He runs away and yells, "Try and catch me!" Again, they're doing a great job in this movie. They're trying.
So while he's sprinting, he falls in this hole that this later so a stupid. Horse comes up to and a horse is shitting on him.
Where did that horse come from? He's talking to it for a long time. He tells it to go back to camp.
Get help. He's like, "Do you understand?
Tell people I'm down here. Do you understand?" And then it shits on him. Mm-hmm. And we see it.
We see his anus go up. Yeah.
We see so much horse anus.
Uh-huh.
It's terrible. And we hear fart noises and shit.
And stuff. He's in a hole and stuff's getting thrown at him.
Oh.
Meanwhile, she's been caught in a net, and this squirrel crew has dressed up in, like, masks, and she's like, "Are you Iranians? Are you Libyans?" Then the squirrel guys are dressed up in these ridiculous costumes. Like, one of them's dressed like Darth Vader,
like
And they have a meeting with the two leads, the fly guy and the crazy woman that leads the camp.
Let's just call the fly swatter later.
They have some kind of negotiation that they're going to have because they've kidnapped the ditzy girl, apparently, and obviously have taken Chad, whatever his name
is. Yeah, they're like negotiating for their release or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand this scene because he's the only one in a... Like you said, he's in a Darth Vader costume.
Mm-hmm.
The other kids aren't disguised.
Mm-mm. Then they keep sending the fly guy messages. They send him two or maybe three messages in a red balloon that comes into his office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is so stupid. And this whole time I'm like, how many days have gone by and they're stuck in that mud barn?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, somehow he gets out of the horse pit. And
they bag him up. They drag him out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They drag both of them. That's right.
And put the bags in. Then she seems to think that he's the one that put her in a bag.
Yes. And he's like, but I'm in a bag too. That's when I turned it off and was like,
that's a good idea.
I don't know that I can handle any more of this right now.
You made a good choice to turn it off and to just take a break. Because there's no way you could have even made it through this last race if you kept watching.
Right. That's how I felt. It was like sleepy. It was stormy out. And I was like, I'd rather lay in bed and listen to the rain than find out what happens.
While they're in that pig barn, Tad or Ted or whoever says, if we only had matches, we could hold a match
under
this fire sprinkler. Mm-hmm. And it would have sprinklers go off throughout the campus. They'd be alerted to where we are, which doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. Like, if all the sprinklers went off, would you know which one started it?
No. I wouldn't think you would.
And also, why do you have a sprinkler in this pig barn?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't have any matches. And she pulls out a lighter and goes, will this work? And he is unsure until he tries it.
Uh-huh.
And then they just get rained on. Like, it doesn't go anywhere. No. It doesn't.
That's when we have the close-up of, I guess it's Dennis Quaid that releases them.
Dennis Quaid, you're right.
That lets them go.
I guess. We don't see
all
that.
Because all of a sudden, we don't know what happens. They're just wet and they're in this pig pen. And Dennis Quaid is like hot on there finding them because he got a ransom map or whatever to say where they are. And then the next thing we know, it's the Chipmunk Challenge. And we're about to have this stupid race.
It's so boring. I wrote so boring 4 times in my 2 sentences about this race.
Yeah, I wrote, she tells him to wear your jock straps for the race. But it is. It's dull. It's stupid.
But she's addressing the entire camp as though the entire camp is about to participate in this race.
They have nothing to do with
8
it.
8 people total. Mm-hmm. It's not even 8 because there's 3 events. There's 6 people participating. 2 guys in each camp or cabin don't do anything. The guy who's obsessed with guns doesn't do anything.
No shooting involved for him in this. Because, again, now she lays out the whole what they're going to do for the course. And that's when, again, I turn the movie back on. And when she lays out what they have to do, I'm like, this doesn't even seem like a fun course. There's going to be no – they have to ride bikes. They have 4-wheelers. They have mountain bikes. They have skateboards.
Yeah. And you have to ride around little paths that are lined with tires.
Mm-hmm.
The end. And we watch that in this movie for an exhausting amount of time.
Agreed. Yep.
And the good guys win. The end. Mm-hmm. Who cares? These stupid nerds win. I don't like any of them.
Mm-mm.
I don't care that they win. As we said, DA hooks up with the nurse. There's some bondage stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's the
lame.
Nerds hook up with the other girls.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's happy. They all jump in the pool. It's awful. It is so terrible.
It's the worst. Then it's over.
That's it. It's mercifully over. And like you said, this movie is 1 hour and 32 minutes long.
Way too long.
That is way too long for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even think chopping it would make it any better.
No.
There'd just be less nonsense, but...
Sometimes we'll watch, what's a cheesy, silly movie, and we'll still recommend it for the silliness, because you just got to see how silly it is. I don't think this movie should have been made.
Or there's anything to...
I wouldn't even say, go on YouTube and watch the fly scene. It doesn't matter. It's not that great.
No, it's not that great.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Imagine Dennis Quaid dressed up as a fly. Already, what you have imagined is better than what you're really going to see.
Exactly. I agreed.
Yeah, it's terrible. I have to say, sorry, Parasite. Sorry, Red Sonja. Sorry, Tron. I think this is the worst movie we've watched yet.
I might agree. I do agree.
Yeah. I mean,
definitely do agree.
Yeah, we have started our 5th year of this podcast, and we've
already, we found the worst movie.
Anyway, my recommendation, because this movie was so bad and made me never want to watch another movie again, which obviously we have another podcast coming up in another 2 weeks, so I'll watch it. Don't worry. But my recommendation, I couldn't think of, there's no movie. Like I said, I almost didn't finish watching this movie, and I thought, well, I have a, this is a podcast about movies. I have to watch the whole thing to have a full. But I thought, it doesn't matter with this one. So anyway, my recommendation is the book. I'm going to show it to you, like our audience can see it, even though they cannot.
Okay.
It's called The Interestings. It's by Meg Wolitzer, and it's about a group of friends that meet at a summer camp. And then they grow up and what their lives are like as they age and, you know, versus when they met at the summer camp.
You did it. So, you did it, Jamie. Mm-hmm. You tied it into the movie.
Yeah, I did.
Nice job.
Yeah. Now, you have a better recommendation than a book, or a movie recommendation, not a book.
It is the Orson Welles movie, F for Fake. Which this director was the cinematographer for. One of three, but yes, but he did some segments of this. It's sort of a documentary. It's a very weird movie in that it's a documentary that Orson Welles had to shoot, or I don't want to say had to, so he was forced to do this, about a guy who was an art forger. Forge paintings and then, you know, sell those to shady art dealers, and then they'd sell them to other people for a lot of money. So he interviewed this guy, but in doing so, he then had an idea to expand upon this documentary and talk about, like, when it even comes to filmmaking and all sorts of areas of art, like what is real, what is fake, how are we as the audience being manipulated, who really owns these artistic properties, stuff like that. It's
cool.
It's an experimental documentary, but it's really, really interesting. And again, to hear that this guy had anything to do with it was shocking after watching this movie. So that is my recommendation. Well, we got through it, I don't feel good about it. I imagine it's
like what some summer camps are like. Like sometimes you go away to summer camp and you're like, that was amazing. It was my sleepaway camp, right? And then sometimes you go to summer camp and you're like, I feel icky and violated and I don't want to go back next year. That's what this one was.
Unlike sleepaway camp. That rapey pedophile was awesome. And when that girl chopped that dude's head off at the end, it was amazing.
At least I was entertained.
I could imagine that you're right. I'm sure I never went to camp as a kid. I always kind of not wanted to, but it's one of those things that from watching movies and TV shows, you're like, oh, I kind of wish I did that. It seems neat, but it's just because I watch Salute Your Shorts a lot. But I'm sure there were some years where you would go and it would be amazing, and then you'd be so jazzed to go the next year, and it would just suck for whatever reason. Like, it's not the same kids and not the same counselors, and you're doing dumber activities and stuff. So this is the dumbest activity you could do this summer. So don't watch this movie.
No, I don't recommend people watch it at all.
I was recently on a podcast. It was called the Fatal Femmes podcast. I went on and we talked about a Whoopi Goldberg movie called Burglar.
Love it.
And I do have to – I would tell you to watch Burglar.
Okay.
It's not great. It's not even good. But it's Whoopi Goldberg. And for a few scenes, not many, Bobcat Goldthwait's in it. And
yeah.
Pretty great.
He's the best. That was a terrible one. I could do better. Marlon Guinness is very good. That is better.
That's excellent. But anyway, the reason I bring this up is, first of all, go listen to her podcast. It's fun. But I was on there, and one of the girls that hosts it, she was telling me that she's listening to our podcast a lot and that she's doing it the right way, which is she will watch the movies and then listen to the podcast.
It's best.
So, Laura, I apologize for what you just did.
Because
you just made a huge mistake. I hope you didn't unsubscribe.
How's this, Laura? If you watched it, I'll hold your hair back while you puke because it's that bad, and I'll support you the best way I can.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, we are going to watch something that I don't think is a giant sack of crap like this is.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to watch the
Explorers.
So we're not watching Satisfaction, regardless of what the patrons may be thinking right now. They're very confused. I like to think that our patrons are writing down what we're doing on a piece of paper.
And then crossing it off and going, no, like, now they said that. Cross that like off.
Five movies scratched out on a sheet of paper.
That's how but it we're going to do
Explorers.
It should be a lot of fun. I mean, it's not
going to be. It's
going to
be more fun than Party Camp. It'll be better. I know.
Isn't that sad when you say that Party Camp wasn't fun? If there's something that should be fun, it should be a movie called Party Camp.
I guess.
I mean, it should be. It's not.
All right. Well, go put your bug costume on, I guess. I don't know what you do after you watch a movie like this.
Climb a chimney and get spanked. Why not?
Oh, man.
Do it. All right, everybody. All right. We will talk to you in 2 weeks when we watch whatever movie I said we'd be watching. And if I change it, I don't know. I'll let people know.
We'll
on
announce
Twitter
it on Twitter. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Oh, that's why you should follow us on Twitter. And,
that's right. Because things could change. Yeah.
And Instagram. So anyway, hey, patrons, you got a podcast that's like an hour and 25 minutes long. Everybody else got, I don't know, a 45-minute show.
Yeah, because that's all they'll need.
Again, that's why you need to go to Patreon, where in real time we decide the movie we're watching next time.
You want
to
hear it.
Because who doesn't like to just listen to people Google on a podcast? All right, everybody, we will see you in 2 weeks. Have a great 2 weeks.
Take care. Goodbye. I'm going to Party Camp. But now, well, oh my God, I'm sorry. That is totally what I think about this movie.
You don't care anymore. Guys, this is the last episode of this podcast ever.